Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I'm your host, Shane Bacon. And yes, by the magic of pre-recording while you're listening to this, I am in South Korea checking out a golf course called Whistling Rock. Yes, first visit to South Korea. I'll be there for most of the week getting to check out some golf in another part of the world. I'm pretty excited about it. But I wanted to make sure you guys got your Clubhouse podcast filled for the week. And it's a really good one. Ryder Cup clinching point getter Ryan Moore on the podcast today. Caught up with Ryan late last week. A great conversation about the Ryder Cup, about really how he played leading into the Ryder Cup and how he landed a point. He told me about a conversation he had with Davis Love III before the Tour Championship. Talked about the playoff and some of the putts that he made against Rory McIlroy. Must make putts that, you know, he felt did enough to get him on the team, which of course it did. And then just the insanity of that week. I mean, Sunday, Tour Championship. Monday, you're on the Ryder Cup, and you're flying to Hazeltine, and you got to be a part of a team and really get back into that. So, you know, it was fun. It was fun to catch up with a guy that, you know, he's won five times on tour, but really the last month has probably been the most important of his career. This week's podcast, of course, is brought to you by Swing Juice, the best golf t-shirts on the planet, possibly the universe, haven't checked yet. Swing Juice continues to pump out styles that will make your friends wanting to literally take the shirt off your back. Currently in South Korea, that didn't stop me from packing my favorite Swing Juice gear to wear in between rounds of golf. New styles are always rolling in. You'll never be bored searching the website and finding the perfect shirt for you. Don't forget, they make amazing gifts for the golfer in your life that thinks he has everything. Use the offer code BACON and you'll save 20%. Get thee to swingjuice.com right now and thank me later. If you want to follow the travels, the South Korean travels, of course, I'll be posting stuff on Twitter at Shane Bacon. On Instagram and Snapchat, I'm actually at ShaneBacon11. I've tried to buy at Shane Bacon a couple times. Nobody responds to me. Not a shocker there. And on Facebook, I'm at Shane Bacon Golf. So different handles, but all kind of get you to the right place in the same place. And just follow throughout the week. I'm going to be checking out a place. The golf course looks absolutely stunning, at least from the picture. So I'm excited to see what we got and see what it's like and see how the course plays. Hopefully my golf game travels with me. It's been a bit of a struggle the last few weeks, as it tends to do. But that's enough of me. I wanted to make this short and sweet. I wanted to get right to Ryan Moore. As I mentioned, Ryder Cupper, a member of that American Ryder Cup team, and the man that got the final point for Team USA to finally break the trend the Europeans have had at the Ryder Cup. So here we go. Ryan Moore on the Clubhouse. And we welcome into the Clubhouse Ryan Moore, 33-year-old PGA Tour player, five-time PGA Tour champion, and include the 2016 John Deere Classic. Ryan finished seventh in the FedEx Cup standings in 2016, highlighted, of course, by the near-upset playoff victory over Rory McIlroy at the Tour Championship. Ryan, of course, was also on that winning Ryder Cup team for the United States. Finally, Ryan, first things first, I always start with this question. What have you had to eat today? It's what, about 3 p.m. on the West Coast?
What have I had to eat today? That is a good question. That's one thing I'd have to think about, actually. When I'm home, I just kind of wander around and, like, snack all day. I'm not like a go out and get meals. I know. I had Pei Wei for lunch, actually. It was like my 4-year-old son's favorite thing. And I was driving home from the gym working with my trainer, and there was one conveniently on the way home, so I picked that up for us for lunch. That's what I have today.
What do you go with at Pei Wei? Do you go with, like, the, you know how they have the little healthy option and then they have everything else? Do you go healthy side?
I'd say kind of in between. I go the, like, one of the chicken dishes, usually the Kung Pao. I do it steamed instead of fried or pan fried or whatever. And then with brown rice. So I feel like, you know, I'm kind of a tweener.
Yeah.
Order, not super healthy, but not terrible.
Yeah, snuck it right in between clubs. Okay, well, I wanted to get right into the Ryder Cup. Of course, go back a couple of weeks. You win in the middle of August at TPC Deer Run, finishing the top eight in the first two FedEx Cup playoff events. You're headed into the BMW Championship. What did you think your actual chances were of making the Ryder Cup team, of getting that last spot from Davis Love?
I had a really good, honest conversation with him the week before the Tour Championship, because obviously, I mean, there was a lot going on, and there's all this stuff in the air, and I just wanted to talk to him and just be like, hey, let's be honest with each other. Just tell me, like, what do I have to do? Do I have to go win next week? do I have to beat this person or that person? Do I need to have a nice solid finish because I've played pretty well lately, you know? And basically what I got gathered from him from that conversation was I have to go win the golf tournament the next week. So I mean, it kind of made it simple in my mind. I mean, I can't say that's why I went out and played well and almost won. I think it's a really good term for me. I finished third the last time I was there. So it's one I've, the course I enjoy that seems to fit me pretty well. So, but it's nice to kind of get that, you know, stuff off of my head of like, oh, well, maybe if I do this or maybe if I do that, you know, all the different variables that might be. It was just like, okay, well, basically I have to go win this tournament. And of course I didn't. I got into a playoff, but I think that was enough to prove kind of where my game was at and, you know, enough to get me on the team.
Well, so, you know, take me to the 18th green. I mean, you're in regulation. I think you were 12 under and could have got to 13. You had, what, a 12-footer that was kind of a favorite putt, I guess, for right-hander. I mean, maybe right lip or just outside right lip. Are you thinking about that? I mean, knowing that if you make this putt, you make a birdie, it puts all the weight on Rory McIlroy, who I think was still having to play the hole. I mean, if you make that putt, you're thinking, not only do I win probably the biggest PGA Tour event of my career, but I make this Ryder Cup team. I mean, is that going through your mind at all or no?
Not really, no. So I was actually playing with Rory, and he had already hit it from splash out of the bunker up to about a foot or so and tapped in for birdie to get to 12.
That's right.
And I was already at 12. I had a 10-footer, you know, like you're saying, above the hole, probably around a right edge putt. At least I thought it was right edge because I hit it right edge and it lipped out. So, you know, maybe it was inside right. But no, I really wasn't. I mean, it's hard in that moment to just be focused on what you're doing, but I really was. I mean, I was just simply trying to win a golf tournament. Like you're saying, it would have been the biggest win of my career. And, you know, I had a great opportunity right there with a good putt. I didn't know what Kevin Chappell was doing behind us. I knew he was right around where we were too. And, 17 was a very birdieable hole. I didn't know what he had done on that hole. So, you know, for me, it was just trying to get it in and trying to post that 13 under and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, and you hit a good putt there, as you said, maybe a bit of a misread, but not much. I mean, it hit the hole. You make that putt again in the playoff, and then you make that enormous par save from an area you missed from earlier in regulation on the fourth playoff hole to really put the pressure back on Roy, who, of course, went on and made that birdie putt to win. Do you feel like when you were making those putts, I mean, you have to think, while I didn't win, I was pulling off golf shots I needed to pull off to show somebody like Davis Love that I was able to not only – you know, play into a playoff and potentially win. But, you know, in my opinion, as I was watching it, you were making these big pressure putts and really as big of a moment as you could have outside of maybe a major championship.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really thinking about that in the moment. But afterward, you know, once I was done, I didn't get a text or call right away or anything. But I'm sitting there thinking, well, there's not a lot else I could do. Obviously, I could have won the tournament. That would have been better. But I also went head-to-head in a playoff against their best player on their team and forced his hand and, you know, made big putts when I needed to. And, you know, unfortunately, a couple of them were for pars or just to have the hole type thing. But, you know, I was hoping. I was very, very hopeful that I had done enough to sway them. And, you know, when he made the call, I mean, he told me it was unanimous between him and all the assistant coaches. And, it was a 100% agreed upon decision. So I guess I had swayed them enough.
So it was there any point on Sunday evening after the event wrapped that you were more than about 2 feet from your cell phone?
Yeah, actually there were a few moments. My 4-year-old son Tucker went up into the locker room with me. He always goes up. He likes to help me change my shoes after the round or whatever. We were about to go get on a plane. I was going to go get in the shower and do all that stuff. So I actually gave him my phone to play games in the locker room on my phone. And I was actually in my head thinking, oh, well, you know, if I miss a call, I miss a call. It'll be all right. I can call him back. I was thinking how funny it would be actually if he answered and talked to him for a few minutes there. But it didn't happen. He called me about 15 to 20 minutes after. I actually missed the call when he called, too. And then he texted me, and it was one of those, like, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing,
right,
kind of moments. But it turned out to be a good thing when he asked me, you know, what I was doing the next week and if I I wouldn't mind going to Minnesota. I was like, yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah, I could get a flight over there. Well, you know, Ryder Cup week, this is going to shock you. I've never played on a Ryder Cup, but yeah. Ryder Cup week is such an insanely big production. I mean, I don't think there's anything like it in the sense of how big it feels. You know, team meetings, practice rounds, you're trying to find which person you want to play with. They're trying to do like a modified pod system, and then you have galas and opening ceremonies. I mean, you're thrust into this thing. Was it fairly overwhelming?
Yes, it was. Very short notice, and I think it was harder on my wife than it was on me, because trying to deal with, we have a 4-month-old boy, so trying to figure out, like, you know, it's not a very kid-friendly event, so trying to figure out what to do with our 4-year-old, what to do with our newborn, like, it's just a very different week than what we deal with week in, week out on tour. So, for me, it was, you know, it is. It's a lot. There's functions. There's stuff every night. I mean, you don't have a moment. And I think in the end, it was almost like a good thing, because I just played my way right into it, and I just showed up and like, all right, let's just keep doing this. You know, where I might have been more nervous or anticipating it more had I had a couple weeks off, you know, kind of going into it. I think it actually kind of helped me relax and just kind of go play a little bit, and you know, in a weird way, just because I didn't really even have time to process it.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I mean, for you at this event, I mean, you've got your outfits. I mean, they have team gear for you and all that stuff. I mean, your wife has to go pick out dresses or get somebody to ship them up to the house. I mean, up to the area. I mean, how far into that conversation when you looked over and said, I'm on the team, was she thinking, oh, my goodness, I need to go get some stuff to wear?
Well, we flew home from Vegas Sunday night just because my family was all with me. My parents were, we had a bunch of people out there. I already had a flight going back to Vegas. I'm like, all right, let's just get on this. Let's get you guys all home. I'll just fly back out the next morning, and then you can have a day to try and situate all of this craziness, and then fly back up. So she ended up coming out, you know, Tuesday afternoon or something like that. So, like I said, for me, it was not too bad. They had all my stuff. Actually, I didn't get fitted this year, but I'm a pretty generic size on most things, so it was not too hard to get me all the gear. We had to hem a couple jackets and suits, you know, that kind of stuff. But besides that, it was pretty
easy. It's probably pretty nice for somebody like Davis Love to have, I would say, a low maintenance type of player like you getting selected, because you probably just had a mentality where you went, yeah, whatever you got, it's fine. I'll wear whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was so last moment. It was all that stuff. It's just like, hey, I'm just happy to be here. You put me in whatever you want. I'm good to go. I'll go try and play good golf and try and make some more putts and just keep it rolling. So,
is there a moment from Ryder Cup week that when you look back on it, that you'll remember off the golf course? Is there one moment, you know, not winning, not playing, not getting the first nod with JB on Friday afternoon? Is there a moment you'll look back on not playing that you'll really remember?
Yeah, just some of it. I mean, I would say just some in general off course stuff, you know, just having dinner with the team every single night, having different people, you know, come and hang out and talk to us. I mean, Jack Nicklaus came and hung out and had dinner with us a couple times and, you know, talk to us briefly, but I mean, just getting to do stuff like that. I mean, that's just not normal. I mean, you don't get to do that week in and week out, you know, on tour. So it's just fun. The overall experience, really, for me, was just it was pretty eye opening and just incredible. I've said this a few times since. Like, if I don't get to play in another one ever again, I mean, I had such a great, amazing experience this time with. I mean, Davis loved being the captain. I mean, he was incredible. My teammates are great. All the other vice captains. I mean, if I don't get to do it again, I'll be happy the rest of my life that I got the experience that I had, you know, last week.
Yeah, and in what point did you realize you were going to pair up with JB Holmes? Because he's played in one of these before. I mean, was it instantaneous?
Basically, I think they kind of had that in the back of their minds. I think that was what they had been thinking. As far as pairing me from the get-go. I mean, it kind of seemed like they just threw us in right away and just like, hey, get comfortable with this. Now, JB and I have known each other for a very long time. We're the same age, played in college and amateur stuff a ton together with and against each other. So it's someone I'm very comfortable with and know pretty well. And, you know, that was That was a great pairing. I loved it. I thought that was a great guy to play with. I mean, I would have loved to have played alternate shot just to get to hit it from where he hits it, just for one day, like Kuchar got to do with Dustin. They threw us out in the best ball each time, and it was great. I loved that pairing.
Yeah, I played concession a year ago where JB plays most of his golf in Florida, and there was a par 4, and it's like 408, and they told me he drove it, and I was like, no human on this planet can drive it. And they were like, he's either driven it a couple times or driven it right by it a couple times. And you mentioned Kuchar. I remember Kuchar had a couple of yardages into par 5s, and I was thinking to myself, I would be surprised if he's ever thought, I'm going to have 197 into this particular par 5. So it is a different dynamic for sure. Yeah. I wanted to go to Sunday. You know, you're two down to Lee Westwood, three holes to play. You make this insane eagle on the 16th hole. Has there ever been a moment in your golf career where the atmosphere and such was when that putt dropped and you were back in this match with two holes to play?
No, I cannot. I can't even imagine being in a situation anywhere similar to that. I mean, it was incredible. Just the atmosphere in general, the whole week, the crowds were incredible. It was so supportive. But man, that was fun, and that was fun timing to do it. I walked off the 15th green, going two down. Both JB Holmes and Patrick Reed's matches were done, and they came back to come walk with me for a couple holes because I was down. And I don't know, something about them, you know, walking off the green, and they were both there kind of pumping me up and telling me, you know, you got this, don't worry about it. And I don't know, so there was like a switch went off inside me, and I'm like, no, I'm not going down like this. Like, I gotta just figure something out. Let's see what I can do these last few holes. So, and that was so different about the Ryder Cup is, you know, you have that. You have your teammates out there encouraging you and coming and pumping you up. And, you know, I mean, that's fun. That's just such a different environment for us. But to hit those shots in that situation, and that was the best shot I think I've ever hit my entire life, the second shot into 16. I hit my 3 hybrid from about 45. And literally the second I made contact, I was like, yeah, that can't be outside 10 feet. It's impossible. Like, it was just one of those shots that was just perfect. I knew it was perfect. I knew the numbers were perfect. And if I hit it solid and I hit it right where I was trying to hit it, you know, it was just one of those that just came off, and there's just no way it could be bad.
Well, you mentioned emotional. I mean, these guys are pumping you up. You've got players out there. You've got assistant captains. I mean, you've got assistant captains that are Hall of Famers and notables and major winners and all that such. You make eagle on 16, and, you know, I've heard this before from coaches, but, you know, there's a level of getting down on yourself, but there's also a level of getting too high. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, you know, you're so pumped up making that eagle. How do you settle yourself down on 17 and get yourself back in the moment to play a golf shot and then go on to make birdie there?
Yeah, I'd say that's, like, the hardest thing. I mean, to hear a roar like that, hear everybody get behind you and get so pumped up, and, to try and come down from that. Just, you know, for me, it was, you know, go right back to my routine. Go, you know, just talk through it with my caddy, take a couple deep breaths, you know, realize, hey, I'm still one down with two holes to go. Like, I have to hit good golf shots here. I can't, that was great that I eagled that hole, but that's not going to win me the match, you know. So just having to, you know, just come down from that really fast. And, you know, I think routine helps that a lot. Just right back to, hey, it's a golf shot. Let's talk about the numbers. Let's figure out what we need to do here, and let's focus on this. And, you know, I was able to hit a great shot again there, right behind the hole, then make another putt. And then probably I was most proud of my drive I hit on 18, actually, in the end. I hadn't hit a good tee shot there all week. I didn't even think I'm practicing to hit a good tee shot there. It wasn't exactly a hard – it wasn't a difficult tee shot. It just – I don't know, just for some reason I couldn't hit a good drive there, and I just absolutely – split the middle of the fairway at a time where it's what I needed to do. Yeah, I won those two holes, but if I span it short and in a bunker or something like that, that gives him, you know, kind of some momentum to step up and pipe it down the middle, and I hit it down the middle to force his hand, and he ended up hitting in the bunker, and, you know, all kind of went from there.
Did you have an idea? I mean, you know, I don't know if you look at scoreboards or not, but did you have an idea that you're the clinching point for the Ryder Cup, which is, you know, kind of what you – I think everybody would want to be if they had a chance to be on a Ryder Cup team?
No, I really didn't. I did not know until after the match, but I was still focused. I mean, kind of the message, the captains and Captain Davis had for us all week was do your job. You know, get your point. Like, don't focus, don't think about all that other stuff. It's so easy to get wrapped up in looking at the board, seeing red, seeing blue, all this stuff, you know, but you need to get your point. That is the point, you know, that's the goal. You just go get your point, do your job. And so really that's what was going through my head. I was standing there on 18 and it's like, hey, I want to get this point, you know, and I hit a good shot in there and he hit in the bunker green side, but I didn't want to look at the board. I did not want to know what was going on. Now I had looked maybe a few holes before and I thought we were up in quite a few matches and I figured we were going to win. I just didn't know I was going to be the point to kind of clinch it. But I was standing there looking at my putt the entire time, just studying it and focusing on it, trying to think I had to make it, you know, to win my match. I didn't want to have my match. I wanted to win. I wanted to win my point. So I was just completely focused on that. So when he actually ended up, you know, missing his par putt, I was like, well, there's no chance I'm going to get this to the hole. I'm just going to cozy this sucker right up there and two putt this. I don't want to run this 3.5 feet by and just, you know, look stupid. So I'm going to just cozy it up there. In hindsight, I probably should have tried to make it. It probably would have been a little more dramatic, a little more exciting. But hey, I was just trying to get my point. And I, you know, two putted it or left it a little bit short and he gave it to me and I kind of turned around. Then my wife walked onto the green and said, and told me like, hey, that was the point. You know, that was the clinching point. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I think that was my, response. I was so focused on that match and those last three holes and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I didn't even think about all that other stuff for that moment. I guess I was a little bit in the zone there for those last few holes.
Yeah. That was what I was going to ask you, was the first person that came up to you and said something. And it's pretty cool that the week starts and ends with, you know, your family kind of being there for both those moments. I mean, you getting the call and then of course the first person that tells you. I mean, I feel like that's an underrated element of the Ryder Cup, is how involved the families are. Does your wife look back on this and say it's her most fun week she's had as a PGA Tour wife?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it was just, she loved it. I mean, when she actually got there, once the stressful trying to figure everything out for that 36 hours before she got there, once she got there, she was great and had an amazing week. And yeah, they're so involved with everything we do out there, and you know, all the wives and her and caddy's wives are all riding in carts and along with us, and you know, around every single hole. And I mean, it's great. It's an incredible week. It really is. And you know, I've heard people describe it and explain it and stuff like that. And you know, it just doesn't do it justice until you truly experience it.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
A reminder that this week's podcast is brought to you by Swing Juice, my favorite golf t-shirts out there. Buying golf polos from your favorite golf course is a must, but what are you wearing after your round or before your round? Or those disappointing days when you aren't golfing? Swing Juice is the answer. Visit swingjuice.com, use the offer code BACON at checkout. You'll save 20% on all orders. It's a steal of a deal and a must if you call yourself a golf nut. Visit swingjuice.com right now. I wanted to ask you, is if we looked at the celebration on Sunday night, if I set the over-under at 2 in the morning, how many of the 12 players were still up past 2 a.m., do you think?
I would say 90%. I was up nice. After 2 a.m. Definitely. I couldn't fall asleep, even if I would have tried. I don't think I could have fallen asleep, so. We definitely have some fun.
Was there somebody that surprised you in their ability to celebrate and party that maybe you didn't think would have that in them?
No, I kind of figured they were all pretty good champions at that, and no one disappointed. Let's just say that everybody has fun.
What is this late season run? You know, you nearly win the Tour Championship, you make the Ryder Cup. What has it done for your confidence heading into 2017? Because I mentioned your 5 PGA Tour wins. I mean, you came into professional golf one of the most decorated amateur golfers of all time. What has this season in particular done for you going forward into 2017?
Well, I think those last 2 weeks of the season, especially, I think did a lot for my confidence to play, you know, at the Tour Championship against, you know, all the best players, and you know, almost come out on top there, at least get into a playoff, and then go have the experience I did at the Ryder Cup, hit those shots, you know, coming down the line when it really mattered. You know, that's huge. I mean, it's kind of immeasurable, just how much confidence you can get from just hitting shots like that in those moments. Cause you don't know if you're going to be able to do that, until you get that opportunity. And it's, you know, when all the pressure's on, can you step up and hit a shot that needs to be hit? You know, and I was able to do that, especially Sunday, at the Ryder Cup. So, you know, for me, going forward, I made some great decisions, last year, just about schedule and timing and how to do it, you know, things, and, had a great planning session before with this kind of my whole crew, you know, from coaches and managers and caddies and just everybody. We all kind of get together and just really plan out my year. And just did a great job with that last year and just gave me a ton of confidence going into this season. And I really stuck to it. And then I had a great addition throughout my season and kind of the end of June, kind of right before I honestly started playing really good. I was a new trainer I started working with, and man, it's just done wonders. I've had some issues, and, you know, had an ankle problem for probably 5-6 years. I've had a lot of little stuff that's just nagging and bothering me, and man, he just helped me get through some of that and get, you know, some areas that were weak and immobile, get them moving again, get them stronger. And I think that propelled me to kind of go play well that end of the season, just kind of getting some things more comfortable that have been hurting for so long. So I'm really excited about these tournaments coming up this fall. I'm leaving this Sunday for Malaysia, then I'm going to go to China, and then I'll finish up the fall in Vegas at home for me. And I'm excited for those events. Yeah, I wanted to keep playing this week, but I was exhausted. My wife was exhausted, and I didn't want to be away from my family for 3 straight weeks, especially with 2 of them being international. So we went ahead and decided I was actually going to play now, but we decided, nah, that was before I knew I was going to be on the Ryder Cup and all that stuff. So we're like, okay, let's just maybe take that one off. So I'm excited to get back to it though. I mean, my game feels good. My body's been feeling great. And, you know, I can't wait for this fall and then again next year.
So over your career, you have rocked some rather unique outfits, I'll say. Yeah. Some that have, I would say, I mean, you went sponsorless for a while, and there was a big stories about, you know, mm-hmm. you were following your own path and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Is there a particular outfit you look back on and say, that wasn't a good one, I shouldn't have gone with that?
Well, now you're going to have to make me, like, remember. I don't know. I have, like, the worst memory ever. I think I'm just good at forgetting stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I was fine with it.
This is key to your golf ability.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta just forget about that stuff and just go hit your next shot. That's the key. I think that's how I think about my clothing.
There you go. Well, I always liked the ties. I was always a big fan of the ties. I thought you looked sharp with those. And I mentioned your amateur career. When you hear from college players that have been successful, I mean, you think about Bryson or Maverick McNealy, these types of players. If they contact you and say, what's the one piece of advice you'd give them as they turn pro? You know, what is the piece of advice you'd give a successful collegiate player as they make that transition to professional golf?
Just kind of to stick with what got you there. I think that's the most important thing. That's what helped me. I mean, be confident in who you are in your game and just know that was good enough to get you there. So, you know, stick with it. It's hard to get out. There's a lot of pretty lights, we'll call it. There's just stuff everywhere. There's things to do. There's, you know, lots of different stuff that, you know, you can start searching and start, you know, kind of forget who you are as a golfer. And, the most important thing in golf is confidence. You start searching and, you know, doing stuff that's not comfortable to you. I mean, that's where that confidence can start going real fast. But, you know, just being confident in your own game and your own swing and your own putting stroke and just knowing that that's good enough. And to me, that's kind of what's always been a staple for me.
Okay, I'm going to do a few rapid-fire questions, just quick questions, quick answers, and I'll get you out of here. First question, I think I know the answer to this. Best golf shot you've ever hit in competition?
Yeah, definitely 16. Second shot on 16 at the Ryder Cup this year. Absolutely.
And I don't want to drum up negative thoughts here, but if there is one that comes to mind, what's the worst shot you've ever hit in competition?
That's sort of my good or my terrible memory.
This is what I was going to say. This is right. Your answer.
I don't know. There has to be some. The problem is there's so many. It's hard to like narrow it down to just one terrible golf shot. I mean, we all hit so many golf shots. There's inevitably there's terrible ones in there. I can't really think of anything like right off the top of my head. I've definitely like 16 at Phoenix. I've definitely hit some like terrible iron shots there. I actually played it great this year, but I think the year before, I don't even know if I hit that green once. And you get to hear about it. You feel like it's your worst shot you've ever hit, and you're like 30 feet away on the fringe. But I've definitely hit some really bad shots there.
The worst part is when it's about 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. on Friday and Saturday there, and you hit it to like 25 feet, but you're on the green, and they still boo.
Yeah.
And you're like, I hit the green in regulation. What are you talking about? This is not a bad golf shot.
Exactly. You're like, that's not bad. I mean, it wasn't good, but it's not bad. I mean, I take it.
Right. Okay, it's 9 p.m. on an off week from the PGA Tour. What is Ryan Moore most likely doing?
9 p.m. I mean, I hope I'm sleeping most of the time.
At 9?
Yeah.
At 9 p.m.?
Yeah, I have two kids. I got a 4-year-old and a 5-month-old. I'm sleeping any chance I can get. But yeah, probably. Well, it depends. You know, basketball season, I might be watching some basketball. I don't really watch baseball much. I don't know. I just get, when I'm home, I wake up early and kind of go work out. By 9 o'clock, I'm pretty tired. I'm definitely falling asleep.
I got you. Yeah, I'm the same age as you, and in the last year, that's kind of been the situation as well. I think I went to bed at 9:21 last night. All right, last question I'll ask you. Oh, first I wanted to ask, what basketball do you watch, college or pro?
I'll watch both. I don't really have a team. I mean, I would be a Sonics fan, being from Seattle, but obviously that doesn't happen because they don't exist anymore. So,
yeah, you don't root for Oklahoma City?
No, the Traitors. I never root for them. you know, my caddy is a huge Warrior fan and has been forever. He's from the Bay Area, from Napa, and he kind of got me watching them 5-6 years ago, kind of before they really took off. So I've enjoyed watching them over, you know, do what they've done over the last years, and been kind of fun. But I can't say I'm like a, you know, I don't really have one team or another.
And my last question is this: if they started a 2-man collegiate alumni golf tournament where you could pick 2 players from any college and they'd play other colleges, do you feel like you and Adam Scott would be the number one seed?
I don't know. That is a tough one. I mean, I think Adam and I would be, you know, pretty solid, and Adam and Charlie Hoffman would be pretty solid, or Charlie Hoffman and I would be pretty solid. I think we could come up with a few pretty good 2-man teams, but there's also some other schools that have had a lot of players run through them. So I'd say we'd be pretty high on the list for sure. We'd be top 5.
You'd be scared. You would be sneaking into the 1 or 2 seed. It would be a debate. We'd have Jay Billis talking about it for a little bit, and we would have to figure out exactly where you land. Well, great year, and obviously great finish to the season. It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm so pumped that Davis Love went with his gut and with his assistant captains because it worked out great. Congratulations on all the success, and I'm looking forward to 2017. It's probably going to be great for you, and like you said, it starts in just a few days.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited, so thanks for having me on.
And that'll do it this week for the Clubhouse. Many thanks to Ryan Moore. Really appreciate him jumping on. I know it's a little bit of his downtime following a crazy, crazy last month and a half, but a lot of fun just to catch up with a guy that really had the most interesting Ryder Cup week, if you ask me. I mean, everybody else knew they were on the team. He was thrown into the group, got to pair up with J.B. Holmes. They lost that first match, but were able to claim a couple of full points for Team USA and for Davis Love III. So many thanks to him. Make sure you're following us on social media. At Shane Bacon's my Twitter handle. At the Clubhouse Pod is the Clubhouse Twitter account. We'll be giving away stuff I've got some koozies coming in, got some t-shirt giveaways coming up. That's all through the Clubhouse Twitter account, so make sure you follow that at the Clubhouse Pod. And that'll do it for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you love it, make sure you subscribe, tell your friends, write a review, tattoo it on your arm. All of those things help out a lot. And we'll be back next week. We're going to continue to pump these out throughout the off season, the wraparound season, whatever you want to call it. So make sure you tune in and subscribe. Many thanks. Get out and play some golf this weekend, make some birdies, and have a great rest of your week.